Let's stand and worship.
She was his wife, just trying to make the world a little better, you know, shine a light. Well, people started talking just to hear their own voice. Those people tried to accuse my father, say he made the wrong choice. Though it might be painful, you know the time will always tell. Leaving when the rain falls, leaving when the flood starts rising, leaving when the storm comes. Well, I am washed by the water, leaving when the rain falls, leaving when the flood starts rising, leaving when the storm comes. Well, I am washed by the water, leaving when the earth crumbles under my feet.
To be here. Something good's going to happen for you today. Something good's going to happen for you today. I want to tell you real quick, next week is July 7th, and we're doing something called Midsummer Communion. We always have communion the first Sunday of every month, but it's going to be a special, special time. We've got amazing, wonderful worship planned for you, and it's going to be a wonderful, just a special time together. Really special time together, and you're going to hear more about that as the week progresses. But we're here right now in this moment, and we're going to worship. We're going to thank him for what he's done. Aren't you just glad when you think about everything that he's brought you through? If you're here today, God's brought you through something, right? And that tells you that he's about to bring you through whatever you're facing right now. Because you can trust in his faithfulness, you can trust in his goodness, because he's a good, good God, consistently, consistently, consistently making all things work for our good. Amen? Let's worship.
You've been walking the same old road. Miles and miles, you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. You're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a We've all searched for the light of day, the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run from things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save him. He's a prison shaker. Believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. Breaks me. him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means.
Is in Jesus. In Romans, it's 8, it says, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. When we put our hope in him, we're hoping for that thing that we can't yet see, but we know that thing is coming because our hope is in the one who says, you can put all your hope in me and you can trust me. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Isn't that just something to know? That we have our hopes and this thing that we want, and sometimes we don't know how to pray for it or what to pray, but it says the Spirit himself intercedes for that thing. And then it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That scripture goes on to talk about us being predestined and called and chosen. He consistently chooses me, chooses you. I shared last week, there is no one who is excluded from being chosen by him. There is no one excluded from him interceding on your behalf, going before you, knowing that he is in my past. If I go back there, I'm going to find him. He is in my future. If I try really hard to go there, I'm going to find him. And he is right here. And because he chooses me, it's so easy for me to choose to believe, to choose to have faith, to choose joy in this moment, to choose love in this moment, to choose in his goodness in this moment, to choose worship in this moment, to choose praise in this moment, because I know when I choose those things, I know breakthrough's coming. Breakthrough's coming because I'm choosing. He's already chosen you. There's nothing you can do to make that a null and void. He has chosen you. And so this morning, I encourage you to choose to worship through that thing and know that he's on the other side of it. And it's easy to put our hope in an unfailing God. Thank you. portion of the now. I don't need to understand. I don't always get to see everything. When I'm holding up my hands, when I'm counting every breath, Lord, all I need to know is you choose me. You choose me. Now praise before my breakthrough, till my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart, I will lift my song. When I'm listening for your voice and I'm shutting out the noise, I know that you will speak clearly. When I'm living out my faith, when I'm stepping on the sea, till my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart, I will lift my song.
I've been praying, I've been meditating and studying for this morning, and I'm going to share some God's principles with you about parenting and about relationships. But I tell you, what God more than anything has impressed upon me is that He wants to bring a breakthrough for you. Whatever area, whatever issue. And I want you to, as you're singing the rest of the song, listen to what you're saying. I'm going to praise before my breakthrough. I choose to trust you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going into that fiery furnace, their words were, you can, you will, but even if you don't. So they praised before their breakthrough. What I want you to hear is God has already done everything needed for it to happen. And He's given you the opportunity to trust, to praise. So as we finish singing this song, sing from that perspective of what does God want to break through in your life.
He who came in power, He will come again. He who heals the sick, won't He move again? Won't He raise again? till this song becomes my triumph. Oh, I worship because I trust you. I will lift my heart. I will bring my song. I will lift my heart and I will bring my song. Thank you, Father, that you who have moved in power before, that you will move again. We thank you that you are moving in our midst this morning. We enter into your presence, Father, with thanksgiving and awareness of who you are, of the power, Father, that is in this room, of the anointing that is in this room. That, Father, the power to break every chain, every yoke, Father, is in this room right now. And we worship you. Thank you, and we trust you, and we love you, Father. Amen.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I tell you, I had the opportunity to be in the praise and worship team meeting when they were beginning to plan and go over the songs, and the discussion and the time and the effort and the technical things that have to take place in order for you to be a part and hear what you hear on Sunday morning is phenomenal. Give these guys a huge hand. I mean, they just... Did y'all notice John Henry on a different instrument? The boy's moving around. He must know Greg Neal. Left my marker down here. We'll need that in a minute. Kingdom principles. You need them. I need them. We need to not only know them, but we need to learn how to apply them. Knowing something and applying something are two totally different things. You may know how to save money, but if you don't apply it, do you save money, Joey? You don't save money. You got to apply it. You got to set it back. You've got to begin doing some of those things. I was sharing, Jennifer and I had the opportunity to be with a couple of our boys, anyway, and Cora, and Cora's mom and Cora's grandmother, grandmother, and Luke's girlfriend, Kelsey. But during that time, just enjoying the mountains, enjoying being with each other, we were traveling home and just had the opportunity to listen to this place set that we sang this morning and talking about the goodness of God. And she said, how are you going to go from here to here and make it smooth? And I said, I don't know. It said it may not be. But what I'm sensing and what I'm feeling is that I'm supposed to share some of the principles and things that have to do with parenting, have to do with relationships. But I'm hoping, and my prayer is that some of the things that I'm saying or some of the things that I'm sharing will cause you to identify with what it is that you're needing a breakthrough in your world, in your life. Because that's where life change happens. When you are accepting and open to what God wants to do and to move and to change in you. Not a thing in the world I can do to change Jennifer. How many have ever tried to change your spouse? Doesn't work. Yep. Fall flat on your face when you try to do that. But I can tell you the reason that Jennifer and I have been married now for over 30 years is not because it's easy, but it's because I have learned to trust God that He is going to do in her and that she is open to receive, and I know life will be better. Doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. We have our challenges. We are celebrating August the 8th, Paul's 30th birthday. Man, that means we're really old. So I was reminiscing in my meditation and in my study time over talking about some parenting things, and I'm going to share basically 3 points today that are the key not only to parenting, but are the key to intimate relationships. Okay, because they're the same thing. Your relationship with your kids and how you're going to train them and develop them is the very same thing as what you have and what you use in intimate relationships with somebody, where you can actually speak what you feel and how you think and have an opportunity to share and input into their lives. The people you do life with, when you're honest and when you're open. Because see, openness and honesty is the number one, the key to parenting. Well, hold on, Pastor Will. Isn't learning how to use the paddle the number one key to using to parenting? No, the number one key to parenting is acceptance. It's acceptance. It's unconditionally accepting your child, accepting your little one that has been brought into your life. There's not a thing in the world they can do that they would lose that acceptance. God modeled that for us. Let me read you a few scriptures. We can put them on the screen, I guess, and you can read them along with me. But Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." And then 1 John 3:1-3. "See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him or haven't been awakened to him yet. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But he has not shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure." You are going, that scripture says that you are going to be like Christ at some point in time. Probably not here on this earth. But when he returns and you meet with him, you're then going to know these things. So, what do we do here now? We begin experiencing and uncovering and learning who he is to us. And as we begin to do that, we become more like him. So hopefully, when he does come back, when he does return, and we are with him, there's not that big a change that's going to take place. Well, for some people, it may be a 180-degree turn. They're going from here, and they're going all the way to here. But hopefully we've already made that complete turn, and we're beginning to move towards him, and we're becoming more like him. So as parents, as we learn to accept our children, does not mean I'm telling you have to condone their behaviors, but you do need to accept and love them. Why is that? Why is that? Because acceptance leaves us open to influence. Just think about that for just a minute. Who are you open to? Somebody who's rebuking you? Somebody who's rejecting you? Somebody who's condemning you? Somebody who's pointing a finger at you? No. You are open to someone who loves and accepts you. Did you know that the only God your child knows before the age of accountability is through you? I just scared a bunch of you, didn't I? The only God. So they are learning, most all of you, and I want you to think about this for a second, view of your father. Most all of you, unless God has done a work inside of you since then, your father formed your view of your heavenly father. So if your father was an authoritarian, brought the hammer down every time, his way or the highway, without intervention, without openness to who God is, that's how you view who God is. All the reason that as we become more like Christ, that we learn how to love and accept our children. We learn how to love and accept our friends. Jennifer and I have relationships and friendships with several people. But there are only a handful of people that you can really do life with, that you can share and honestly back and forth and walk through different experiences together and share those things. David Gamble is one of those that he and I, we talk together a couple of times a month for sure, maybe four times a month, as far as talking about what's going on in your world. Not just, hey, how you doing on Sunday morning. How many come in and say, hey, how you doing on Sunday morning, but you don't know nothing about what's going on in their world? And so relationship, and I think David knows, I love and accept him no matter what. And one thing I know for sure, that David Gamble loves and accepts me and my family no matter what. Doesn't matter if I mess up. Doesn't matter if I'm going through a hard time. And as we learn to give this unconditional love and acceptance, that means we're doing the two commandments. We're loving God with all of our heart, and we're loving our neighbor as ourselves. And you can't go wrong when you're doing that. I know, Pastor Will, I love and accept my child, but when they do this, it makes me feel like this. I know. I understand that. Did you know that I believe, this is just a willism, that I believe God gave us kids to help us need him more and want to be more like him so that we can handle our kids? The second key. So number one key was what? Acceptance. The second key is accountability. Now, this is not a bad word. This is a good word. Accountability is an encouragement if you're loved and accepted. Accountability without love and acceptance is not good. Okay, and I'm going to give you a little diagram, and we're going to see if we can get this on the big screens as I do this. But it will hopefully help you to get a big picture. never said I had great penmanship. So hopefully you can still all right, we got that up on the screen? No, stay on that. Yeah, there you go. I want to make sure everybody can see it. So at the very top, it says high acceptance. The very bottom, it's low acceptance. The far left is low accountability. And the far right is high accountability. Okay? So you can use these principles in your intimate relationships, or you can use these in your parenting. Those of you that are still parenting. Actually, you are always parenting. It just changes how you parent. Okay? So, high acceptance and high accountability is an effective parent. And this is the best. High acceptance, unconditional acceptance, love and acceptance, no matter what. Never saying, if you love me, you'll do this. Ooh. Because you're always going to love, it doesn't matter. We're going to give this one a happy face. All the love and acceptance, but also accountability. If you have high acceptance and low accountability, we're talking to the extremes now, we've got somewhere on this graph you will fall. But you will be a permissive parent. A permissive parent. High in acceptance. Oop. Let's put the eyes over here. And the mouth here. Sorry, that messed up. That's an ear right there now. Kind of looking the wrong way. Okay. This one lets them get away with things. There's no accountability. Says, don't do this, don't do this, 27,000 times. Rather than moving them and removing them from a situation. This is second best parenting. You mean there's worse than no accountability? There is. See, if you have low accountability and low acceptance, you're a neglectful parent. And this is bad. That says not present. There's low accountability. There's low acceptance. You're pretty much not impacting or doing anything. You're not imparting anything. Nobody wants that. But what's worse than that is low acceptance, high accountability. So all you're doing is bringing the law without bringing any love. And every home looks different. But this is a controlling parent. How many of you have friendships or relationships where they're always just trying to tell you what you need to do or what you're doing wrong, and you don't feel this love and acceptance from them? Hopefully they're peripheral friends, because you aren't going to be comfortable around those friends. Likewise, your children need someone that who is not just trying to hold them to a standard, but they feel that love and acceptance. Because in a parenting relationship, the only real person who changes is the parent. The child will come to the standard that is required most all of the time, as long as there has been consistency in getting to that point. See, we started out by leading by our authority. We told Luke, Elizabeth, and Paul when to get up, for the most part. They chose sometimes when they were babies. They had a time frame to get up. They had a time frame to go to bed. We told them what they were going to eat. Sure, we gave choices at times, but we were authoritarian, especially in those younger years, and we said, this is how it's going to be. Have you ever known a family that seemed like they had the perfect kids growing up, and then all of a sudden these teenagers rebel and are out of the house, and the parents get this divorce? Because that authoritarian style only works as long as the other person is allowing it to work. And if your child rebels, it's because either they are not in agreement with what's going on, or they're not feeling that love and acceptance. Because it doesn't matter how high of accountability you have, if your children feel as though that you love and accept them, they will always come back to you. Always come back to you. We get around our little family discussions, immediate family discussions at times, and talk about some of our parenting pet peeves that we had. Jennifer did not have probably as many as I had. My children will know and tell you exactly one of them that was one of mine. What was it, Elizabeth? Making your bed, cleaning your room. I don't know of any of them that actually do that now as an adult. I probably messed up and didn't handle it in such a way. But I have three children that are hard workers, that love God with all of their heart, and are amazing in their relationships with other people. And if I have to take flack for emphasizing making your bed and cleaning your room at a young age, and it caused them to be who they are now, I'll take that flack every day. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that all three of my children, if they're in a crunch, if they're in a time of desperation, they're going to come to Mom and Dad. They know they're going to be loved and accepted no matter how much they've messed up, no matter what has happened. And even though at times it may take a little bit to get you to that point, but what kind of friend are you being to those that you have intimate relationships with? Ever had friends that got divorced? Ever felt like you needed to take sides? It's hard to not do that. It's hard to conditionally love and accept, even though you feel like someone has been low accountability. These are principles of God's word, that as we unconditionally love people, we allow ourselves to be in an area to have a sphere of influence. I said you started out with authoritarianism with the children, and it is the parent who changes to not only then leading by their authority, by leading by their influence. And you only have the sphere of influence based upon the level and depth of relationship that is there. So moms, dads, it's not about how much time or quality time, it's about a relationship. You can get through having just quality time, or you can get through having just a lot of quantity time, as long as there is a relationship. Third thing. First one was what?
Acceptance.
Second one was what? Third one is consistency. Consistency. And accountability is where you get into discipline. And there is all kind of ways that discipline can happen with children. There's all kind of ways that accountability happens in relationship. But the way that your children are going to know, the way that your friends are going to know if it's for real and if you totally love and accept them is if you're consistent. We sang about it this morning, God's consistency. As Dusty said those exact words, God's consistency. And He has set that example for us of what that is to look like. And yes, there's times, there's times that you feel you want to wring them by the neck. Kids, that is. Well, friends sometimes too. And there's times you want to bring down the hammer and you want to lay down the law. And you can bring them to a standard as long as you are consistent in how you are executing it. See, Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Us parents have that one down. But fathers and mothers, I threw that second word in there, but it needs to be there. Do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. The number one way that you aggravate your children is for them to not know where the line is. Moving the line. One day the line is here, next day the line is here. And that is based upon how you feel. Today's not a good day, so the line is here. Ah, we're having a great day, so the line is here. If something your child does is deserving of discipline, whether it's a spank on the hand, a paddle to the rear, or time away, separation, time out, whatever you want, whatever your discipline is, if what they did deserves it on the eighth time, it deserved it on the first time. Did you hear that? Oh, whoa, 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 I wasn't mad yet. It didn't frustrate me yet. My level of anxiety had not gotten high. It does not matter. If there's going to be accountability, then that has to be consistent accountability. Because your kids have to know where the line is. In your relationships with friends, if there is an area that, hey, that's not cool for me to talk about with I don't joke in that area, whether it be coarse jesting about something or whether it be whatever it may be. In your relationships, you define, hey, this I'm okay to, but I'm not okay beyond this. And you begin knowing where that is. And you begin understanding that. But all the meanwhile, there is love and acceptance that is pouring out. Praise team could be coming. God the Father has set an example for us. He gave His only Son. He showed the ultimate love and acceptance for us. And as we begin to pattern our lives, as we begin to walk it out, as we are continue to have this consistency, are we consistently being like Christ, or are we consistently doing what we want to do? It's an internal struggle that takes place at times. But see, His love and acceptance, what He has poured out, what He has given, is for you. My opinion, and I think I've got a right opinion, is that my three children love and trust me. I may not have all of the knowledge and information about every topic and every subject, but more than likely, if they've got a major choice or decision to make, they're probably going to run it by me, Jennifer. Different reasons they do that. Getting different perspectives. But they love and they trust me. How much more our Heavenly Father should we love and trust? We sang that we're going to praise before our breakthrough. This next song that's getting ready to be sung talks about coming to the table. That table is what God has set for us to be able to participate. There's some in here that need a breakthrough because you don't feel like you're worthy to be able to be at the table. You are. Because it's not about what you've done. It's not even about what you're doing. It's not even about what you may do in the future. It's about that He loves and accepts you. And so you're worthy to be at the table. Some of you are in that position, that framework of, wow, do I really trust God? I know I trusted Him in this area, but this area seems so much harder to trust Him in. I just don't know if He's going to do what I think He should do. Well, you know what? He may not do what you think He should do. It may be exceedingly, abundantly better than what you can ask or think. Are you going to trust Him? So we're going to go through this song. And I want you listening to what the words of that song are. And then after they get to a point, I'm going to invite you down for prayer. We're going to pray for you. The eldership is going to come be and pray for you for your breakthrough today.
Let's stand. Hear the voice of love that's called. There's a chair that waits for you. and a friend who understands everything you go through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame. There's a light of hope that shines. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, there's a Savior in the cross. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fear that holds your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
I just want to open this area right here. If you want a prayer for whatever area, whatever breakthrough, whatever is going on, just step out of your seat where you're standing and just come right here. Let someone come in and just lay hands on you and pray for you. Allow God to begin as you're open to the influence that God wants to have on you. The more life change can take place inside of you. Anyone else? There you go. No one ever arrives. We just come to another level, another dimension, another aspect of who God wants us to be. We are awakened to know and see God in a different way than we've seen him before. And as we're open to that, this life change happens. Elders and leaders, if you'll, one person behind each person. And if you know, you're down here, you just walk down here, and you know what it is that you're wanting your breakthrough in, just turn around real quick and in a couple of words, tell the person behind you what it is you're looking for a breakthrough in. Just say, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's whatever it may be. Betsy, if you can come right here, please. Father, Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father, that you are God and we are not. Lord, we put our faith and our hope and our love and acknowledgement and trust in you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you will continue, Father, Lord, to show yourselves faithful, and that each and every person, Father, Lord, as they have come down and declared, Father, Lord, a need for a breakthrough, I pray, Father, Lord, that you will just open their hearts, open their minds, and allow them to receive all that you have. I thank you, Father, Lord, that you'll just continue, Father, Lord, to encourage them. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you will continue to ignite them, to raise them up, Father, Lord, for complete healing in all areas. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Those that are down here, I want you to look at me. there are lots of times that when you have a breakthrough, you know it. It happens, it's immediate, and there is something that you feel. But there are lots of times, I want to say more times than the other, that your breakthrough has just poked through and started, and it will continue to become what God wants us to be as you begin to embrace it and accept it and continue to walk in it. He's given us that authority and that ability to be able to walk in a confidence in Him. That's not braggadocious, that's walking in confidence in Him. That He is going to continue, that He's going to bring that healing physically. He's going to bring that healing emotionally. He's going to bring that breakthrough that is needed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Need to make sure everybody hears that. This Wednesday is First Wednesday, but it's also July 3rd. So there will not be a First Wednesday service here because of the holiday. We want you to enjoy time with your family, those that are traveling, that you'll be safe and careful, but you'll enjoy that time when you get to where it is that you're going, that the fireworks will be magnificent, that whatever you see. I know there's two sets of fireworks going off in Griffin tonight. Somewhere where you're at, you may be able to see them. We are so grateful and thankful for your faithfulness. Not only just being here, but those of you that are giving your tithes, your offerings, your alms. We are touching people's lives in August. I think it's the 18th. I can't remember my dates right this second, but we're going to have some of the organizations that we support on a monthly, that you support on a monthly basis, come in and give us a little update of where they're at. Russian Hope, Spalding Samaritans, Food Pantry, the Soup Kitchen. You didn't even know you were supporting them, did you? Sometimes we don't do a good job of making sure you know what it is that you're doing in our community, the lives that you're touching, the changes that you're making. Because of the love. Did you know it? When you put an alms, a $5 bill in an alms box, Pastor Barron, I'm supposed to have the alms box down front today. This is the last Sunday, isn't it? Well, somebody go grab it. Ron's grabbing the alms box. When you put a $5 bill in that box, hard work to get a $5 bill. We were in the mountains and Luke said it was 80 degrees. The high was 80 degrees. Luke said, I could work in this kind of weather. I'm not crazy about this 95 degree weather. He knows the sweat that it takes to get $5. I know you know the sweat that it takes to get $5. I'm not saying you got to bring $5. I've just pulled out a number. But when you do that, that's showing God's love. Acceptance. We're not judging any person that is in need of receiving it. For whatever reason that they're there. We're just choosing to love them and give that to them. I had an opportunity yesterday. It was quick, and I almost didn't take it, but it was, and I really didn't realize what it was going to take for me to do it, but I helped a husband help his wife in a wheelchair down some steps. I didn't have to do that, but I'd have lost my opportunity to show love. Our ushers can be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. There's a lot of times this time of year that we're in a position because of summer months, budget-wise and that type of things, that we're having to hold this bill back and not pay this one yet. Because of your faithfulness, we don't have a lot of excess, but our bills are paid. We are continuing to trust God for blessings and provisions in your life, because when there's blessings and provisions in your life, we know the house of God we've taken care of. We're in the process of coming up with some project list things that are going to be happening. We're come closer to the fall, we're going to be sharing some of those things with you. We've asked our deacons, we've asked our elders to be praying about some of these things. And when we have a plan together, we're going to be sharing it with you. God has some great things in store for Eagles Way Church. Physically, emotionally, but most of all spiritually. And in your life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this holiday weekend. Lord, we thank you for the independence of the United States of America and the things that we enjoy and sometimes even take for granted. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll allow us to continue to be thankful and grateful for all that we have. I pray, Father, Lord, for those that are traveling, that you'll keep them safe. Those that are already on vacation, Lord, that they'll have enjoyment. Lord, on Sunday, when we come together to share of your table, take the bread, to take the wine, the juice, in remembrance of who you are, that this special day will be amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend. All the ladies that are meeting, and they'll be meeting in the small conference room, don't forget about that today.